It's time to get spooky. Welcome to the show. Let's go.
Hello.
Whoa, you got the hello this time.
No. I just...
No, do it. You can have the hello. I always do.
No, the hello, hello's yours. I saw you winding up for it, and I wanted to be an asshole.
No, do it. Do it now.
Hello, and welcome back to the Spooky Scary Podcast. My name is Chris.
And my name is Kath. Wow,
and we switched
it up
this week.
Look at us go. At the end, are you going to stay spooky, y'all?
Probably not, because I never know when to end it. I'm usually like, all right, let's segue into an ending. And then I'm like, oh, but let's keep talking.
I wait for a silence, and then I just say it. I'm like, and we're done talking. Thanks for coming.
Welcome back. It will have been a week for you guys. It has been 25 seconds for Kath and I.
Well, maybe 25 minutes, because we did have to chat about WandaVision for a little bit.
Yes, we did. That's a very important part of our podcast, is talking about things that don't matter. Not only do we do that on the microphone, but we also do that before we record. And
well,
also while we record before we started talking on the podcast.
Sometimes when we're talking, like, before we hit record, I get so mad because, like, we say something funny and I'm like, fuck, I wish we were recording.
Oh, I've done that so many times. I'm like, damn, that would have been so good on the podcast.
I guess it's dead forever now.
It's just, if you heard all of the tangents that don't make it online, like, this is the edited version of us. Congratulations.
What is the point, I ask, what is the point of making a funny joke if it is not forever more memorialized in podcast form?
Truly, it's just wasted. I say that we edit this knowing full well whenever I edit it, I just edit all of the noise, like, issues that I have, and I don't ever usually cut out anything.
The only times I ever cut stuff out is every once in a while. I think it's happened, like, twice ever, but, like, one of us will make a joke, and the other one just does not acknowledge the joke at all, and it's so awkward. So sometimes I think I've cut that kind of situation out once or twice.
I think the only content I've ever cut out is my coughs.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of those, because I make poor life decisions.
But, and we'll leave it at that.
Speaking of poor life decisions, we're going to talk about the ones we made today when we spent several hours researching conspiracy theories.
Oh, mine was not a poor life decision.
My second one wasn't. However,
I was living.
The first one I did, it hurt me to read.
Yeah.
And just a little backstory for this before I start discussing this conspiracy theory, because I don't want anyone in any way, shape, or form to think I believe this and that it holds any merit. Mm-hmm. I was on a phone call with my father the other day, a completely benign phone call asking about, like, my brother's graduation plans. And he starts going on a rant about how Donald Trump is an interdimensional time traveler.
Ooh, I didn't hear the interdimensional part.
Yeah, that's what he says. The theory I found mostly just says time travel, but my dad says interdimensional.
Your dad is like, no. There's dimensions on this shit.
I would like it to be known, even after reading all of the so-called research and evidence that points to this, I'ma still say it's bullshit and it's stupid.
Yes.
However, because in honor of my father, I don't know why I'm saying it like that. He is not dead. However, he probably will never listen to this. And if he does, I'll probably get a phone call about this. So, anyway.
Hello, Chris's dad.
Without further ado, I'm going to discuss the theory that Donald Trump and his son, Baron Trump, can travel through time.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not a fun time. So, this theory kind of revolves around the fact that there are some books that are on the Congress's library website, and they're official books. Snopes, like, even fact-checked it, and they exist. You can find them.
They are real books that were published.
The books are called Baron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey and 1900, and also The Last President. 1900 and The Last President were both, like, the same book. I just think they had different titles. They were written in the 1890s by Ingersoll Lockwood. In the first book, the plot is about Baron Trump. However, it's spelt differently from Donald Trump's Baron.
His Baron is two R's,
and this one is one. Yes. But it's a story about a young boy who finds a secret portal and time travels. Dan Evans from Snopes.com says that there are some incredible connections to be made to the first family of the United States and Lockwood's novels from the turn of the 19th century.
I'm sorry, starters, the ex-first family.
For starters, the main character's name is the same as Trump's son, and like I said, spelt differently. His adventures begin in Russia and are guided thanks to directions provided by the master of all masters, a man named Don.
I'm sure he likes to think of himself that way.
Yeah. Before leaving for his voyage through the unknown, he is told of his family's motto: the pathway to glory is strewn with pitfalls and danger. In the next book, or the third book, sorry, The Last President, the story begins with a scene from a panicked New York City in early November. It describes a, quote, state of uproar after an election in which an enormously opposed outsider is granted power. After the chaotic scene in New York City, we find out that the man who won the presidency is extremely wealthy and resides on the Fifth Avenue. And in case you don't know, the Fifth Avenue is where the Trump Tower in New York City is. Once that character becomes president, he begins choosing people for his cabinet. The first person he picked was a man named Lafay Pence. These books also contain crazy and unrealistic things, such as giant turtles, alternate dimensions, a dog named Bulger, and a little smiling man frozen in time.
Like him.
Right. So, I am also going to just read snippets of a Reddit post basically trying to prove this. And this kind of goes more into what my dad was saying. And in the recording that I sent you. Oh, dear God. I really hope he never listens to this and he finds out that I recorded that.
Stevie's face in that video was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Stevie was like, what in the fresh fuck is happening? But without further ado, let's just jump into this fucking hot mess.
Okay.
So after Nikola Tesla's death, the FBI ordered the alien property custodian to seize Tesla's belongings, even though he was an American citizen.
Is this true, or is this just what this Reddit post says?
I'm not sure. I refuse to do more research after this.
Fair enough.
Because this is not the conspiracy theory that I wanted to do. I just felt like it'd be funny to do.
This is your little mini one.
Yeah, and I'd like it to be known I am doing an actual conspiracy theory after this. This is a fun little
dumb shit
extra. Yeah. The National Defense Research Committee called an MIT professor to make sense of Tesla's notes in order to analyze if anything could be weaponized. That MIT professor was John Trump. John Trump claimed that there was nothing of any real substance in Tesla notes, but this, of course, was a lie. He knew that if the National Defense Research Committee realized what the notes contained, it could mean the end of the world, because included in them were blueprints for a theoretical time machine. Although John Trump thought that Tesla's time machine was plausible, it was not possible to create using the technology existing during his time. John Trump died later in 1985, but not before leaving Tesla's notes and their implications to the protection of his beloved nephew, Donald Trump. Around this same time period, Donald Trump was known to use pseudonyms such as John Miller and John Barron in partial homage to his uncle. However, there was another pseudonym that Trump was not so well known for, John Titor, or Teeter.
Okay.
Trump, as John Titor, traveled the world under the assumed identity of a soldier, where he discovered that America and the entire world had become a nuclear dystopia caused by radical Islamic terror.
What?
John Titor began
like, is this
posting...
real?
He began posting to several forums in 2000 and 2001, speaking of events that happened in a timeline he had witnessed. He spoke of terrible events that would occur from the early 2000s through 2012. He could not name radical Islamic terror at the time, or the timeline may become unavoidable. He had to be extremely cautious and analyze the near infinite temporal variables and possibilities before making his move.
This sounds like a racist's fever dream.
Yeah. Trump traveled through time, amassing a fortune and making subtle changes which helped him delay the future he saw for as long as he could. But that future is now coming. Trump knew that the only way he could have enough influence to prevent this future totally would become president of the United States. Also, I would like this all to be, like, a little bit context. This is all, like, in 2016. So this is all okay. Explaining how he'd win the election, basically.
Okay.
Someone also goes on to say that this is why Trump's tower got struck by lightning on the official day he was nominated.
I'm, like, trying really hard to understand how A connects to B connects to C, but my brain is not connecting those dots.
Nope. They say that Trump has a bizarre ability to accurately predict and manipulate his political opponents to his advantage. However, they're not predictions. They are foreordained events.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be real with you. Can't count many times where Trump has been able to predict any of his opponents' moves. He just threatens them into silence by, like, threatening to kill them.
Yeah, I mean, like, he won in 2016, but, like, I feel like that was... I don't think that was so much about manipulating his political opponents as, like, manipulating constituents and forming a cult, which is what he did.
Yeah. Also, all of this was posted under an anonymous, like, handle, basically.
Yeah.
They said, however, there is only one thing you need to know about Donald Trump's campaign for the presidency. He wants to be president, but not for very long, only as long as it takes. He always said he wouldn't want to become president if there was something else he thought he would do as good a job.
Mm-hmm.
This is where Mike Pence comes in. You see, Mike Pence is also a traveler who Trump met many years ago, depending on your perspective, of course. Pence is from far further in the future and has a superior time machine. To put it simply, he can be present at the same time more than once. Meaning, so there, like, can the be more than flash. One Mike Pence on Earth in any given time period.
I don't even want the one.
And just as a side note, if you've ever thought Pence looked a little strange or out of place, he's from far enough in the future where races sort of have become homogenized.
I mean, he just looks like a white man to me, but...
Yeah. Mike Pence, or rather copies of him, were sent back to the past by Pence Prime and Trump in order to infiltrate the lives of political enemies before they ever became political enemies.
Pence Prime is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
This part is it's the worst. I forget what Trump's wife's name is. What is her name?
Melania.
Okay. Ivanka Trump was originally born to another father and Melania in the original timeline, and Trump was dating her.
Mm-hmm.
Or not Melania, Ivana, because that's who he had
Ivanka
with. No. Is Melania Ivanka's mom?
No.
Okay,
Melania's only Baron's mom.
So, yeah, Ivana is Ivanka's mom. But apparently in the original timeline, a different person was her father. But Trump went back in time and married became Ivanka's father because he ended up being the one to sleep with Ivana. Which is what he meant when he said, perhaps if she weren't my daughter, I'd be dating her.
Ah, I feel like my brain is melting.
Trump is causing the Mandela effect.
Ah, the celebrity's death. I think we've actually said before that we think Trump is a Mandela effect, that he was caused by the world ending in 2012.
The celebrities' deaths being averted or delayed are due to time ripples. The huge and lavish funerals for otherwise trivial people are becoming of slow news days because Trump and Pence are stumping the terrorists. Muhammad Ali and Mandela died in the Alpha timeline and few batted an eye because bigger events were happening. Trump is not just a god emperor, he's a superhero.
See, I hated this at the beginning, and the more you talk, the more I'm like, stop talking.
Like, this is a direct quote from someone. This is someone's actual belief.
People, you know, I was going to do QAnon, but then I didn't because I was like, I don't want to, like, want to die today. So I did something fun instead. But, like, I wanted to do QAnon because I, like, need people to know that, like, people really think this. People think Trump is a messiah.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And I'm like, can you please, like, I don't understand how your brain is doing that. Like, you're in a cult. I saw a video of this girl being like, the left thinks that we are in a cult, but really, they're the ones in the cult. We can't be in a cult because we're free thinkers. And I'm like,
you all think the exact same, bud.
You all think the exact same thing that makes no sense and has no evidence, so I don't understand. But I guess people in a cult would think that.
This theory goes even further to state that Donald Trump was behind Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton's affair. That it was an attempt to defeat Hillary Clinton back before she would ever run against him. Okay. It was a plan to shame and discredit Bill Clinton to the point where Hillary would not be able to successfully run for public office. However, an alleged temporal incursion by Hillary from the future prevented any lasting damage because she went to run for Senate in New York and was elected. Soon thereafter, despite Trump's best efforts, that tragic day on 9/11 occurred. It was Trump's biggest mistake and something he regrets every day and every yesterday and every tomorrow.
I hate that.
Yep. Trump did indeed visit ancient Egypt as one of his first travelings. This is where he began to understand timelines and how he could have impacted them.
Okay.
I feel like...
I don't know. It's like one of those conspiracies where I'm like, I need to stop trying to make this make sense because it's just not gonna. So I just need you to keep talking and I'll just keep being confused. And that'll just be how it is, I guess.
And this person's just posting a bunch of shit. So this is another thing they say. There are no aliens that we know of, just other humans from far in the future. Abductions are real because people in the future occasionally have need for fresh samples of genetic material from the past to cure diseases and re-diversify their homogenized gene pool. And this is a quote from him. No, I am not not Pence or a Pence. If you haven't figured out who I am, I'll give you a hint. The me that you see in the public is currently less than 25 years old. I won't confirm if you get it right. And people are saying it's Barron Trump that's posting all of this.
Okay.
Somebody people said,
also thought they found Barron Trump's Roblox account and that he was like, fuck my dad.
I would believe that more quickly than I believe this. Somebody asked, will whites get a homeland in the future?
Oh my god.
And they said, no, races will become a relic of the past.
See, here's my thing. When you said all races become homogenized, is the idea that everyone will become racially ambiguous because all the races will like be combined at that point, or is the idea that there just won't be people of color? Because if Mike Pence is supposed to be the homogenized race, it makes me think that they're just like, what if only white people? And that makes me want to stab my brain.
Yeah, no, basically they're saying that only white people exist in the future. Then someone mentioned that Michael Caine, who is a gay politician, I guess, but apparently he's not. And they're saying that his wife is a clone of Mike Pence to keep him in check, basically.
But Mike Pence would never do that because he believes gay is bad.
Yep.
Or are they saying it's a female clone, in which case it's not gay?
I think they're saying it's a female clone.
Don't understand but the logistics still behind that, but live your truth, Mike Pence.
But yeah, so basically that is that, and it's a nightmare of a time
and it's bad and we're just gonna ignore all of it.
But what's honestly the terrifying thing is like people believe that, like people genuinely believe this, my father included, think that this is a like legit thing that could have happened or did happen.
Here's the thing, is I love, like, dumb magic shit. I'm like, yes, fucking time travel aliens, alternate dimensions, let's go. I love it. But, like, when you're doing it to talk about, like, Islamophobia and white nationalism and that, like, Trump is your messiah god superhero man, I'm going to need you to stop. You're making it not fun anymore. You're making it shitty. And I hate it.
Yeah, because that's all this is. It's just thinly veiled xenophobia and racism.
Yeah.
That they're trying to justify as being like, oh, but I'm from the future. I know the future. Mm-hmm. And, like, basically they're just saying white people are the future and that everything else is canceled.
Yeah, because I'm sorry. They're Trump saying they're going to evolve
people
travel.
Out from being people of color.
Yeah.
But, that was a nightmare. So let's get into something more fun and let's do your conspiracy.
Mine is way fun. Actually, well, it's probably not. It's not. The people involved didn't think it was super fun, but, like, it's fun. Let's be real.
Okay, bet. I'm down. Let's go.
Okay. So a little bit of backstory about mine. Everybody probably knows this information, but just for, like, that one person who doesn't, I will tell you who the Beatles are.
Okay.
So the Beatles, as all of us except that one person know, were an English rock band formed in Liverpool in 1960. The group was made up of four members, John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr, and they are largely considered to be one of the greatest and most influential bands of all time. So now that we have stated the obvious...
Let's get into the lesser-known obvious.
A lot of fans at one point believed that... the Beatle Paul McCartney actually died in 1966 and was replaced by a body double.
Avril Lavigne.
See, this is a common thing. Avril Lavigne, Britney Spears. I think some people think it with, who was the other one? There's another like famous musician who people think was replaced by a body double.
I don't remember. I know I'm sure like any other time I'd be like, oh yeah, this one, but right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we've talked to Avril Lavigne and Britney Spears. I think it's happened with most people. I think Paul McCartney was like the OG body double replacement.
Oh, Joe Biden musician. Was a body double.
Yes, and Hillary Clinton was also a body double.
Was she? That one's new to me.
They did the Daily Show did this thing where they like sent out one of their field agents to go to like a Trump rally, and he had two identical pictures of Hillary Clinton, and he was like, which one's the body double? And people were very genuinely being like, this one, she looks a little bit different. It was the same picture printed twice.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so the theory goes that Paul McCartney stormed out of a recording session one Wednesday, November 9th, 1966. And people believe that he then got into his car, went speeding down the M1, where he was in a horrific car crash, and died. So Paul McCartney actually, around this time, was in a car accident, but a Beatles fan-run magazine spoke to the Beatles press team, who said that Paul was fine, and then everyone was like, cool, Paul's fine. However, like 2 years later, in October of 1969, this Beatles fan named Tom called in to the Russ Gibb Show, and Russ Gibb was a radio DJ for WKNR-FM in Detroit, and Tom asked Russ to discuss the rumors about Paul McCartney's death, and he told Gibb to play the song Revolution 9 off the Beatles' White Album backwards. So, at part of the song repeats the words number 9 over and over again, but when played backwards, it sounds like it's repeating the phrase, turn me on, dead man.
Interesting.
Yes. So they played that, and then Tom and this radio DJ were like discussing this theory on air for about 2 hours.
Jesus Christ, sounds like us.
Yeah, for real. They were like, stop the presses, this is a Beatles conspiracy theory podcast.
This is an emergency. An emergency broadcast on the Beatles network.
Yeah. So someone who was listening to this radio broadcast was this guy named Fred Labor, who was a writer for Michigan Daily, and he basically turned the radio call into an article under the headline McCartney Dead, New Evidence Brought to Light on October 14th. And he said the article was an obvious joke, but it basically just helped perpetuate the theory. So the Beatles were already known to write lyrics and use visuals that needed to be dissected by fans for multiple meanings and stuff like that. Or at least their fans like thought that there were multiple meanings in their stuff. And they had backtracked a couple times or back, like done the thing where they record something backwards and then you play it. They had like done that once, I think. So a lot, like people kind of would play their music backwards to like look for subliminal messages and like analyze their covers and shit like that. So basically the theorists believe that in that car accident that people thought that he was killed in, Paul was really killed in 1966. Around this time, Paul was not seen for a few days and neither was anybody else in the band. Now people say it was because Paul just had a baby, but what if he was dead? And also, the theory states that basically their label put the remaining three Beatles in hiding to stop the story from getting out. Because the Beatles were like this giant band at the time. Like they were the biggest band in the world. They were this money-making machine. And they weren't sure if their upward mobility could survive the death of Paul, who was like, you know, the two main Beatles are Paul and John Lennon.
Right.
And like Paul wrote most of the songs. Or not most, but he wrote like half the songs. He was one of the principal songwriters, him and John Lennon. So the label convinced the bandmates to keep the story quiet. And they found a man who's allegedly named William Shears Campbell, who people claim won a Paul McCartney lookalike contest a year before the accident in Liverpool. So he had McCartney was from Liverpool, so they would have the same accent, and he apparently looked almost exactly like him. So the theory states that the bandmates were forced by the label to accept that this was the new Paul, that this is what they're doing, but they tried to send subliminal messages to their fans that Paul was dead through the music and album artwork because they were like legally obligated to pretend that this was actually Paul. So there are a lot of Beatles lyrics that theorists believe reference the car accident in question. And I think the reason that I was saying earlier I was living my best life is because I was literally just vibing, listening to the Beatles, being like, oh my God, Paul McCartney is dead.
Did you listen to them backwards?
I didn't. I listened to a couple of them backwards. I listened to Revolution 9 backwards, and it does sound like Turn Me On, Dead Man. And I listened to one other one backwards, but I don't remember which one. But anyway, so these are some lyrics that theorists believe reference the car accident in question. The opening lyrics to the song Gotta Get You Into My Life are, I was alone, I took a ride, I didn't know what I would find there. In the song A Day in the Life, there are lyrics that says, he didn't notice that the lights had changed. And then they also say the lyrics, Paul was the walrus, or the walrus was Paul, in reference to I am the walrus. And there's like some stuff where people are like, goo goo gajoob means that he's dead. I don't know. That one I didn't really understand, so I didn't really include it. But the opening line to the song She's Leaving Home is Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock as the day begins. And people think that he died on a Wednesday morning. Mm. And then the song Lady Madonna contains the lyrics, Wednesday morning papers didn't come, which people think is like discussing the fact that the news of the accident was hidden, so like it wasn't in the papers.
Right.
And then at the end of the song Strawberry Fields Forever, there's a clip of John Lennon saying the words, it sounds to me like he's saying strawberry fields, but some people think he's saying cranberry sauce, and other people can hear I buried Paul. And I did see somewhere that someone, like, close to the Beatles did say that it says, I buried Paul, but it doesn't mean, like, physically buried his body. It means, like, John Lennon's audio playing was burying Paul's audio playing.
Yeah.
But to me, it just sounds like he's saying Strawberry Fields, which I think makes the most sense because the song is Strawberry Fields Forever, but that's just me. And then also in the song I Am the Walrus, John Lennon added an audio snippet at the end from the BBC production of King Lear, where they're saying, bury my body and oh, untimely death. And then at the end of the song, I'm So Tired, John Lennon says, Monsieur, 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 how about another one? But if you play it backwards, it sounds like, Paul is dead, man, I miss him, I miss him. Then obviously there's the Revolution 9 Turn Me On, Dead Man thing, but it also has like sound effects that kind of sound like a car crash or an explosion. In one of Ringo Starr's solo songs, he says the lyrics, I'm sorry that I doubted you. I was so unfair. You were in a car crash and you lost your hair. And a lot of people say that in the accident, Paul McCartney's like basically got scalped.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So they think that's a reference to that. And then in Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, Paul McCartney sings, or quote Paul McCartney, sings, "Let me introduce to you the one and only Billy Shears." And people were saying that the guy who won the lookalike contest was named William Shears Campbell, Billy Shears.
Yeah.
And then, so on top of the lyrics, people also look for, like, visual clues as evidence, such as changes in Paul McCartney's appearance. The biggest one is, like, the shape of his earlobes are different now. Like, in old pictures, he has, like, small little ears. And then in new pictures, his ears are very, like, dangly, kind of. but also, I think old people's ears just get big.
Yeah. Skin just gets loose when you're old, everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, there are pictures of him when he's not that old and his ears look really weird, but, like, I don't know, maybe he did some weird shit to his ears. I don't know his life.
He got his ears gauged and then decided it was a bad idea.
Yeah. On the album cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, there are also a ton of clues. If you've ever seen the album cover, which you can look it up right now, it's fine, but it's like a very chaotic album cover. Like, it's the Beatles and there's a bunch of people in the background and then there's like a bunch of stuff going on. So like, people found a lot of clues in there. So the band stands in the center behind flowers that spell out the Beatles, but there are also yellow flowers in front that are in the shape of a left-handed bass guitar, which is the instrument that Paul plays. I mean, he plays multiple instruments, but he plays the left-handed bass a lot. And mm-hmm. So people think that symbolizes Paul's grave. And then people also say that Paul used to be shorter than his bandmates, but on the cover, he's the tallest one there. On the cover, there's also a small image of the Hindu god Shiva, who's known as the Destroyer, and Shiva is pointing at Paul. And then Paul, or fake Paul, if you want to call him that, is wearing an armband that says OPD, and they said it's Ontario Provincial Police, or Provincial, I don't know. It's supposed to stand for the police, but it could, that's like acronym also means officially pronounced dead.
Hmm.
On the far right of that same album cover, there's like a doll, and it looks like there's a white driving glove that's all bloody, like has a bloody palm sticking out from behind the doll. And then the cover has like a bass drum in the middle that says Lonely Hearts, but if you mirror that image, it says I1XIX he die. So that's like Roman numerals, and if you translate that, it translates to 11-9 he die, which is the day of the alleged car accident.
Yeah.
On the album's lyric sheet, the band members are like standing in a line with all of them facing forward to the camera, except for Paul, whose back is turned. And then on that same lyric sheet, George Harrison is pointing toward the lyric that I mentioned earlier, Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock. So that's all from Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. On the Beatles' Magical Mystery Tour record, the word Beatles is written in stars, but when the image is mirrored, it spells out a telephone number that, at the time, if you called it, it was a London mortuary. And then in a still from the I'm the Walrus video, and I literally went and watched the video and was, like, pausing every second to try to find this still, and I found it. Ringo's drum briefly looks like it says, "Love the three Beatles," and next to the drum, there are a pair of boots that look like they're sitting in, like, a bloody puddle. It's a very weird video. And then there's also a live performance where everyone is wearing red roses on their suit jackets, except for Paul, who has a black rose. When Abbey Road came out, people were, like, even more so looking for clues. So on the album cover, there's a Volkswagen behind the band with the license plate that says LMW28IF. So people say LMW stands for Linda McCartney Weeps, which was his wife, and then the number 28F represents that Paul would have been 28IF if he had lived. People also think the shot, like, is also symbolic, so it represents a funeral procession. So the bandmates walk in a line with first John Lennon dressed in white as the priest, Ringo Starr in a black suit as the undertaker is next, and then Paul McCartney is in gray and barefoot, representing the deceased, because corpses are often buried without shoes, especially at the time. And lastly, George Harrison in denim was representing the gravedigger. On top of that, Paul is walking out of step with everyone else, so they all have their left foot going first. He had his right foot going first. And he also is the only one with his eyes closed. And he's smoking with his right hand, even though Paul was left-handed.
Hmm.
Contemplation. On top of all of that, when the conspiracy was at its peak, the band members all seemed, like, very irritated and defensive about it. So, like, Paul gave a press conference saying, quote, "If the conclusion you reach is that I'm dead, then you're wrong." He confirmed at the time, and he said, "Because I'm alive, living in Scotland." George Harrison said, "The rumors are too stupid to even bother denying." And then John Lennon said, John Lennon made, like, a couple comments about it. His first one was, he said, "It's a lot of nonsense. Paul McCartney couldn't die without the world knowing it. The same as he couldn't get married without the world knowing it. It's impossible. He can't even go on holiday without the world knowing it. It's just insanity. But it's a great plug for Abbey Road." And then in 1970, he was asked about it again in an interview, and he said, "I don't know where that start." Or they were asking him about, like, the clues that they placed in the songs and on the covers and stuff, and he said, quote, "I don't know where that started. That was Barmy. I don't know. You know as much about it as me. No, that was bullshit. The whole thing was made up. We never went for anything like that. I mean, we put the lyric tit, tit, tit in the song Girl. It would be things like a beat missing or something like that. See if anyone noticed. I know we used to have a few things, but nothing that could be interpreted like that." So I feel like if somebody made up a rumor that I was dead and replaced by a body double, I would think it was funny, but they all, like, were very, like, angry about it. So that's, like, one reason people were like, "Why are you so defensive?"
Yeah.
However, if it's true that this isn't Paul McCartney, that it's, in fact, William Shears Campbell, it means that he's responsible for writing some of McCartney's best hits, like Hey Jude and Blackbird. So maybe it's a good thing that he's a body double.
What do you believe?
I mean, I don't believe that he was actually dead. I feel like you can find clues in anything. But I do think it's a fun conspiracy theory. Like, as I said, I think if somebody said that I was dead and replaced by a body double, I would think that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, that's so funny. It also, it's true. It is a good plug for your album. Like, because people right. are buying your album to look for clues in it.
Fucking free publicity, man.
Yeah. Buy my album. See if you could find any clues about Paul McCartney being dead in it. Me when my EP drops, finally.
Find any clues if I'm dead.
Yeah.
Did my execution happen?
Actually, that's funny because my EP is not out. It's not going to be out for a long time because fucking making music when you're independent and literally don't know anybody is fucking hard, and I don't know how to produce shit. I'm trying my best, but we'll get there one day. But guess what it's called? Ghost Town.
Oh, cute.
Look for hints that I'm dead whenever that drops in like 2028 or whatever, because it's fucking taking so long.
Yeah. Is that the end of the conspiracy?
That is the end of the conspiracy. It's mostly just, like, clues that people had. There was never any, like, more. It was just the band being like, "That's not fucking true." I can't do a Liverpool accent.
Well, shall we take a small break so they can digest that conspiracy before jumping into another one?
Yes. Listen to this Anchor ad. I was going to be like, "Go listen to Abbey Road." And then I was like, "No, I don't. Stay on the podcast."
We have a whole other half. Please come back.
Welcome back. I hope you stayed.
Please stay. We have really much more fun content, even though that wasn't a cohesive sentence.
Really much more fun.
Woo!
We're both sitting up now. We're getting our energy back.
And we're gonna power through.
I feel like talking about Donald Trump time traveler, like, made you go to sleep.
It did. It's like when I had to take many breaks researching it this morning because every time I'd read something else about it, it would just hurt me.
I felt like I was just like, John Lennon did this. And then I would look over and you would be like in a trance.
Yeah. Because like it took me like an hour and a half or 2 hours just to find the small information that I did because I spent so long just like I would read one little snippet of that Reddit post or whatever it was. And then have to take, like, 30 minutes of just watching TV because I was like, I can't.
Just because it's, like, people really believe this and it's not, like, my conspiracy theory where the fact that people believe it's kind of funny. It's, like...
No, this one's a lot more terrifying. But the one I'm doing now is just fun and funky and fresh. Well, it's about what happens after you die.
Oh, but that's fun and funky and fresh. Is it about DMT?
No, this is more so about, like... alternate realities.
Oh shit.
And
should I explain my DMT comment?
Please.
So DMT, which most of you guys probably know, but maybe some of you don't, is a drug that is like a very hard drug that makes you hallucinate. And people who have done the drug and have, quote, like I guess if you do it and you do it enough of it in the right way, you do this thing called breaking through. And people think that if you do it, you can break through to a different, like, dimension. Because a lot of people who break through see the same kind of stuff. Like, they see, like, angels above them or, like, people watching them from, like, space or something.
Hmm.
But basically, DMT is actually a naturally occurring substance. You release it in your brain when you die. When you die, your brain gets flooded with DMT. And there have been people who do DMT, like the drug, and they have said that they've, like, lived entire lives in their trip. Like, they'll be tripping for, like, 10, 15 minutes, but when they, like, come back to reality and they, like, aren't tripping anymore, they're like, I literally lived a whole life in that
Jesus
trip.
Christ.
So some people think that the idea of the afterlife is just you tripping on DMT. Like, you know how there's some people who, like, they have, like, a near-death experience or, like, they die and then they get, like, resuscitated and they're like, I went to heaven, I met God.
Yeah.
People are like, nah, they're just on DMT.
That's just the drugs in your brain, buddy. Welcome back.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's why I said DMT.
Well, this article starts, or the article that I found, it's like half stories, and at the very end, there's a test that you take that supposedly will tell you if this might be happening to you.
Ooh, I want to take the test.
I know, that's why I included it.
Should we take it at the end?
Yeah.
Okay.
It says, have you ever had an unexplained accident where you should have died, but due to some random stroke of amazing luck, you managed to survive? Were you ever so ill you narrowly escaped death? Afterwards, did you remember events differently from those around you? One possible explanation is that you may indeed experience death in another timeline, but your consciousness continued on in an alternate reality.
Oh my God, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
My friend, I know somebody who, like, believes this vehemently. Like, he is not scared of death because he doesn't think death exists. He's like, every time somebody dies, they don't die. They just go to a different dimension. It is impossible to die. You will just keep going to new dimensions forever. And some dimensions, like, eventually you'll get to a dimension where, like, immortality exists.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so he's literally, like, not scared to die. He's like, if I die, I just, like, to you, I may be dead, but I have gone to a new dimension.
Well, I guess that's one way of thinking of it.
Yeah.
But, so I'm going to just touch on a few people who have said this happened to them.
Okay.
There's one guy, we'll call him Jerry. He asked for his identity to remain anonymous because he doesn't want people to think he's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes through to describe it. He says, I know how this sounds. I have been trying to figure this out for 10 years. My family won't talk to me about it.
Aw, that's
he
sad.
Says he was driving on a highway when a pickup truck going the opposite direction crossed the center line. It happened mm-hmm. so quickly he didn't have time to swerve. He says, quote, the truck was so close I couldn't react. There was no avoiding it. We were going 65 or 70 miles per hour and I knew I wouldn't survive. He shut his eyes and braced for impact and then said he waited 2-3 seconds, but there was no crash, no sounds of tires screeching. And he said he opened his eyes and we were past the point of collision and much further down the road than we should have been if we had simply missed each other. I looked in my rearview mirror. The truck was moving away from us, also much further away than it should have been, and no longer in our lane. The whole thing was just impossible. While he brushed off the glitch as some sort of one-time seizure episode, he noticed that strange things happened in the days afterwards, the biggest one being in his job. He said that mm-hmm. he used to get along great with everyone at the warehouse, especially his boss, who was also a very good friend. But he says, after the day on the highway, everyone was suddenly hostile. My boss became an alcoholic within a few weeks and turned into a giant asshole. We were constantly butting heads over things he said happened in the past, but I swear did not happen, and I quit a few months later.
Oh my God, this guy got transported to a sad dimension.
Yeah. He said he also noticed strangers were different, more impatient and impolite. People seemed to deliberately move in front of me, blocking my path, he said. Something fundamental in my reality shifted.
Wait, but that means this is our reality that he has been transported into.
Yes.
This is kind of a fucked reality, I get it.
Yeah. He says he doesn't talk about the shift because when he does, people get angry for no reason. I really think something happened with that accident and I am living in an alternate reality. Many people report disturbing experience such as lifelong friends moving away without notice, family members behaving oddly, relationships deteriorating, and even physical changes in their own bodies like new scars appearing or disappearing moles.
Damn.
Most of the changes center around the fact that there are shared memories of the past that do not match documented reality.
Like, Mandela effects.
Yes. There are forums online where people share these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory is called quantum immortality.
Yeah, that's it.
It started as a thought experiment in the late 1980s and later was more fully developed by physicist and cosmologist Max Tegmark. It suggests that we may die many times throughout our lives. With each passing, our consciousness moves, slides, jumps, or shifts to the closest timeline, very similar to the one where we allegedly died. It is a concept that was combined with other ideas and morph into what Jerry and others suggest could have happened, among other potential explanations. These ideas and application of the concepts lie outside the realm of science, but have been embraced by many of those who believe they have experienced such a shift.
Okay.
Here's another quote from someone. Her name is Stephanie. She says that some additional details of my experience were that items had materialized within my belongings that I had not brought on the trip, such as papers that were not mine, jewelry that I would best describe as having put itself together, such as an old pendant that I had lost was on a cord from material I didn't pack, items and souvenirs in a bag from a trip I had lost. Some items later appeared by themselves in the same bag that I reported to the towing company that I searched earlier that were nowhere to be found.
Damn.
Time seemed to be as if it were in sub-periods of time itself. People think that there's like many worlds of other realities where versions of you reside. Every potential outcome of different choices exists in these realms. So, like, basically, like, what would have happened if you would have done this versus not doing it? And so, like, while you may have chosen one path here, there's an alternate reality where you chose the other path.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's like the idea that every choice you make presents a new branch in the timeline.
Yeah.
And then multiply that by every single person.
Yeah, every potential outcome of different choices exists in these realms. Countless universes spin off each time you are presented with a choice. These are the marker events where you made a different decision that resulted in a big change, such as a marriage or to someone different, becoming a mass murderer, or death.
Becoming a mass murderer.
Yeah. Most people do not realize that they have jumped until later unless the event is particularly traumatic. Sometimes they can trace the shift back to a specific global tragedy or experience, such as Jerry's accident. Small differences are sometimes noted, the result of earlier choices or decisions which manifest in the new reality. Did I say differences or decisions at first?
I think you said differences.
Okay, that's what I meant to say. I was hoping I didn't say it wrong. A dress may now be green instead of blue, or a friend goes by their middle name instead.
Oh, but what if you end up in a... I guess that's the thing, is what if you end up in a reality where you made very different choices than...
Right, like, what if...
you're in.
The choices that you were making were, like, good versus evil kind of choices, and then the alternate reality is when you made every bad choice.
Yeah, because, like, a lot of us might end up in realities that are... You know, because it's the closest timeline, so it should be very, very similar. So this might have happened to a lot of us, and we don't even notice because the timelines are, like, practically identical.
Right. There's just small little differences that you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Others suggest a slide occurs for the entire world, with major events such as 9/11 being one such marker.
Mm-hmm.
There is a
That's what happened in 2012. That's why Trump was elected and Berenstein has an A in it.
Mm-hmm. There's a cyclical nature... to most shifts, repeating every 3 or 11 years, with the next major slide due in 2026 and again in 2029.
I'm ready for 2026 because I feel like whatever slide we're on right now, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Although, that's why I was like, with Biden being elected and JoJo Siwa coming out, I've been like, oh my god, I love the new timeline we're on. We shifted.
We really did. The result is a shared memory of a different past. Some have suggested these changes are signposts for determining which reality the user is experiencing, like a type of naming convention.
Okay.
This dimensional jumping occurs every time we make a fatal mistake. We didn't swerve, we didn't get to the hospital in time, etc. Which, mm-hmm. with each death, that timeline ceases to exist for us. That potential reality collapses and is closed off to us when we move on to the next closest. The different timelines exist, but our only consciousness move along. But our consciousness moves along only one path. It is this act of observing that makes it real. Each person exists in their own universe with these particular choices and potential futures. These other mm-hmm. timelines out there are not experienced, just as I am not real to you. So basically, you're living in your own...
Now I'm getting stressed, because do you ever, like, think about that? Like, you're like... Like, I know this sounds so, like, narcissistic and so, like, self-absorbed, but do you ever think, like, what if, like no one else is real? Like, what if I am the only real one and you guys are all figments of my brain, and the second I stop perceiving you, you do not exist? Have you ever, like, thought about that?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think about that, and then I'm like, I am a psychopath, but, like, what if, you know?
I mean,
like,
especially when I was younger, though. Like, when I had teachers, my brain mm-hmm. only could think of them in a school capacity. I was like, they don't do anything besides school. They only work at yeah. the school. They live at the school.
They do not... When the bell rings and I leave, they do not... They just do not.
They stay here. This is their life.
Yeah.
Oh
my god, I feel like that sometimes. I'm like, oh my god.
And this is... What I'm about to read now is from, like, quote from the writer writing this.
Uh-huh. Oh shit. I got mascara in my eye.
Because I am not observed by you, I am not a part of your reality. I exist to you as a potential, someone you know is out there, but that you do not directly experience. My words, however, do exist because you are reading them. The possibility exists for you to meet me. Make the right choices and your consciousness will travel along a path where you observe me, therefore I will cease being merely a potential and become part of your reality. I will exist and become real.
It's crazy that he is like, I do not exist.
Yeah. So, like, for us, since we know each other, we've been around each other, we exist to each other. We are a part of this timeline.
But there is, like, a future, or, like, a past. Or there's a timeline where we do not exist.
Right.
Because we do not know each other.
Right.
Like, I literally joined Glee on a whim. What if I never did that? Then we would not exist.
Right. Like, this podcast would not exist. We would have never met each other.
This podcast would literally not exist. Yeah. But, like, also, I would not exist because I'm not being perceived by you, and you would not exist because you're not being perceived by me.
Yeah.
I have a headache.
Yeah. Move to a reality where I die, and any potential reality where I existed is closed off to you. Each time you experience your own death and slide to a new reality, the number of potential timelines are further reduced. Quantum death does not equal the collapse of only one reality, but every reality where you have run out of options for existence as a result of that choice. Each person who dies in your reality collapses all timelines where they existed from the point of their death forward. Like branches of...
So if like your dad died in your timeline and then you die in that timeline and shift to a new timeline, you cannot shift to a timeline where your dad is alive.
Yes.
You can only shift to timelines where your dad is dead.
Apparently, yeah.
I feel like, I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like there are some people who are like, I could have sworn that, like the Mandela effect. They're like, I could have sworn that man was dead, but he's alive.
Right. So, I mean, maybe there's different theories about this, and some parts of this one that I read are like the basis belief, but some, I'm sure there are some belief, like,
well, it's just a theory.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's true. This isn't scientific fact. Like branches on a tree, your consciousness moves along these limbs until you meet your quantum demise, then you switch to an alternate path. By the time you reach your ultimate and final death, you have run out of alternate realities that haven't collapsed.
Oh, so in this theory, it's that you will eventually die, but
yes.
It's only when you get to your final reality and you cannot enter any new ones.
You are, like, for example, you're old, dying of cancer. There is only one possible timeline left because no other exists where you are alive. You die.
Okay. I thought that it was, like, like, the person I know who, like, actually believes this, the way he was explaining it was that, like, in our timeline, immortality is not a thing. But if you keep, like, the idea of, like, infinite realities is that there is a reality that is exactly like this one, except my hair is red, but there is also a reality where we are all lobsters, you know?
Right.
Like, that any reality you can think of exists. That's the idea of an infinite reality. So he was saying that, yes, the reality that we are in right now, people die and immortality does not exist. But if you continuously are switching to new timelines, you will eventually get to a timeline where people become immortal.
Mm.
So that's how he was explaining it.
So this is how this author says we get to, quote, the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's much like a map where we move from our starting point, which is our birth, to the end point, our final death. There are countless roads and byways to get us to our destination. Each choice moves us closer to that destination. An example of this would be working in the World Trade Center during 9/11. Prior to the attack, there were numerous realities that may have been available, such as going to work late, taking the elevator, entering from a different side, etc. But because mm-hmm. of later events, all of these result in your death. The only viable timelines are those where you took the day off, went in very late, were sick, your car broke down, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Because you died in all these other timelines, many potential realities closed off for you and your only options were significantly limited. Any scenario where you were in that building is no longer open to you to experience. If you chose to be in the building that day, you experienced a quantum death. You slid to another timeline. When there are no other realities to move to, you've exhausted all possible outcomes for you to live, then your consciousness experience ultimate and final death.
Okay.
So what happens when you shift to a timeline where you remember someone famous died in the past, but in the new reality they are now alive?
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to quote The Matrix, and I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not using The Matrix as my,
As your barometer for what is fact?
Yeah.
Because there are people who do.
Yep. Initially, it says switching timelines is usually seamless because there are so many more possible realities that are almost identical to the one you're experiencing, like you were saying earlier. Yeah. You have a statistically low probability of encountering what makes the timeline different. But with each death and the collapse of more potential timelines, the odds improve that the chances are noticeable because the leap is greater.
And it's also possible that you could make it, like... A lot of the times at the moment of death, you're making a choice. So, like, it could be, like, you switch to a timeline where you swerve the car, you switch to a timeline where the car in front of you swerved before it hit you, or you switch to a timeline where, like, let's say, like, you were about to, like, jump off a, like, go bungee jumping, and then you just decide not to, like, you know?
Right.
So a lot of the time it would be seamless.
People say that the glitches are evidence of the shift. Sometimes the mm-hmm. changes are personal and known only to those having a direct experience. Other times they are shared. The shared experiences are known as the Mandela effect, which other categorize the type of false memory. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, how they remember Mandela dying in prison around 91, but of course it never happened.
Yeah.
Scientists claim that this is merely people remembering events incorrectly, but it raises the question, why do so many people have the same wrong memories?
Yeah, that's why it's called the Mandela effect.
Right. A recent experiment provides evidence that individuals can share different yet equally valid realities, and there may be no mm-hmm. objective true experience for everyone.
Yeah, that makes sense.
This is based on the experiment of Eugene Wigner's friend test, which mm-hmm. also started as a thought experiment similar to Tegmark's quantum immortality.
Mm-hmm.
So here is the quantum immortality test.
Okay. Is there like a website?
No, I'm just together. It's just questions.
Oh. Okay.
The rules are simple. Don't look up the answers, but answer the 5 questions based on your memory of the events.
Okay.
There are dozens of these Mandela events. I've chosen some of the most popular. You can take a more extensive test. And I have the link for that, so we might go over a few of those as well.
Okay.
On the George Burns show, when he says, say goodnight, Gracie, does Gracie respond goodnight or goodnight, Gracie?
I don't know that show.
I don't either. But apparently, if you chose goodnight, Gracie, more than 94% of people surveyed chose this answer, but it's incorrect.
Interesting, because I would have said that makes more sense, I feel like.
Because, like, you know, a joke.
Yeah.
In Romeo and Juliet, when they say, "What light through yonder window breaks?" Where is Juliet standing?
On the balcony.
No.
Where's she standing?
It doesn't say. It just says, if you said a balcony, you and the other 88% of respondents may be experiencing an alternate reality.
Wait, where the fuck is she standing?
She's not. She's floating.
This is the reality where Romeo and Juliet is a sci-fi fantasy. What reality are you from?
Etch-a-sketch. Is it with or without hyphens?
With.
No.
Are you kidding me?
Apparently, it's not.
But I can see it. I can see it. Etch-a-sketch.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm looking this up. What the fuck? Okay, normally I hate this stuff because, like, that is so weird. That looks wrong, though. That just looks incorrect.
Yep, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I hate it because I hate when people are like, haha, didn't you think that Skechers had, like, a K in it? And it's like, I don't know.
Lincoln Memorial. Where are Lincoln's hands?
Aren't they on the chair?
No.
I'm like, literally, what the fuck?
Apparently one hand is clenched in a fist.
What? This is just me, like, this is just, let's, like, make Catherine look stupid. No, they're both on the chair. Okay, one is clenched in a fist, but they're both on the sides of the chair.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I guess one is, like, slightly hanging up. I don't know.
In Michelangelo's Creation of Adam, whose hand is higher, God's or Adam's?
God's.
Nope.
But that doesn't even make sense.
Right.
Because God is above the... This is just you saying things, me being like, what the fuck? And you... How is that possible? I thought...
And then God, you're just looking, like, it up above. And being like, what?
Yeah. I mean, it's correct. Adam's is above, but, like, I don't get it. Why does Adam have such a tiny penis?
So, I decided to open up the test, and there's only 12 questions, so do you want to go through those as well?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Let's begin. Is it Dr. Who spelled Dr. out, or Dr. Dr. Who?
It's spelled out Dr.
Yeah. That's what I think, too.
I know that one.
Yeah.
Are we right?
It won't tell you until the end.
Oh, shit. Did Texas... so should I write down the answers?
Yeah.
So we're saying doctor. Okay.
Did Texas pass a law honoring the Boston Strangler for services to population control?
Wait, what?
Texas passed a law honoring the Boston Strangler for services to population control.
That cannot be true.
That sounds very false. So I'm putting false, but...
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. You can pick a different question.
Okay, let's pick a different question because I don't remember anything about
that. In the Bible, what is said will lay down with the lamb? The lion. Yeah, the lion and the lamb.
Twilight, bitch.
Does Pikachu's tail have a black tip on the tail or no?
Yes, it does. Lion, Pikachu, black tip. Me writing down my keywords.
Is Marilyn Monroe's birth name Norma Jean Mortensen or Norma Jean Morton? Wait, huh? Norma Jean Mortensen with an E at the end of Jean, or Norma Jean Mortensen without an E?
Without an E.
Did Sherlock Holmes ever say, "Elementary, my dear Watson"?
I mean, I think yes, but I feel like in the books he actually never said that.
Yeah, I would say that's probably one where it's just a collective misremembering.
I feel like it's one of those things where, like, later adaptations said it, but, like, right. He actually never said it in the books. But I've never actually read the Sherlock Holmes book, so I wouldn't know.
Is Gene Kelly's most famous song and dance routine "Singing in the Rain" with a G or "Singing in the Rain" without a G?
It's without a G. It's a apostrophe.
Sorry, there's a few questions that I just don't know, so I'm like...
Yeah, I probably don't know them either if you don't know them.
Where is the North Pole? Is it shown as just ocean on maps or shown as ice on maps?
I thought it's shown as ice on maps.
That sounds right.
I thought both the top and the bottom were ice.
Yeah. Is the song I'm a Barbie Girl in a Barbie World or in the Barbie World?
I'm a Barbie Girl in a Barbie World.
I think it's in a, yeah.
In a Barbie World, yeah. I'm always just, like, gonna assume now that it's the answer that I think is wrong is right.
Did Timmy fall down a well in Lassie or not?
Yeah.
Because what's that, Lassie? Well, little Timmy fell down a well?
Yeah. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, that's the whole gag.
Yeah. So, yeah, Timmy fucking fell.
In the Volkswagen logo, is there a gap between the V and the W or not?
I thought the V and the W were, like...
I had a Volkswagen, and I'm pretty sure they're not. There's no gap.
I thought they were, like, together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no gap.
Is the quote in Jaws, we're gonna need a bigger boat, or you're gonna need a bigger boat?
We are gonna need a bigger boat.
And finally... In the bare necessities, is it I couldn't be found of my big home, or I think it's supposed to be fond.
Fond, yeah.
Or fonder.
Or the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities, forget about your reason. Wait, when does it even say that?
I have no idea.
Fonder. I think it says fonder.
All right, are you ready to see our results?
Yeah.
Apparently we are unaffected. Or we are strongly affected.
Oh.
We scored 75% out of 100.
Okay, what did we get wrong?
I'm going through the answers now. Okay. Doctor Who is spelt out.
Yes, I knew that. I used to be a stan.
Same. Apparently it's the wolf will lay with the lamb. Pikachu doesn't have a black tip on his tail?
Yes, he does. What the fuck?
There's an E at the end of Jean.
That one I will accept because I just felt like it was without.
Yeah, I was like, I have no fucking idea.
Yeah, I was like, I don't have her birth certificate.
Sherlock didn't say never. Elementary, my dear Watson, or at least in this current reality, he never did.
Okay.
We were correct with Singing in the Rain, in this reality at least. However, the North Pole is supposedly just shown as ocean on maps.
What? Then why can I see ice?
It's I'm a Barbie Girl in the Barbie World. I love that I can see you singing it in your head right now.
Okay, but she Timmy has an accent, never fell so down I feel a like
well
it...
in Lassie.
Okay, well, I mean, keep going, but I have thoughts.
There is a gap in between the V and the W in the VW logo.
Well, that seems just ugly. So,
Jaws is your gonna need a bigger boat.
That one, after I said we're, I'm like, actually, I think it is your.
And it's I couldn't be fond of my big home.
That doesn't make sense lyrically because it's two syllables fit there. It's I couldn't be fonder of my big home. I couldn't be fond of my... That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
That's bad. And also it doesn't make sense.
I couldn't
be fond of my big home means don't like it.
The spelling says found. And so I don't know, maybe they did mean found, but that doesn't make sense either.
Yeah, I'm confused. Here's the thing, though. With most of these, I feel like it is clearly just a case of misremembering. Like, because the things that I know about, like, I know about Doctor Who because I was a fan. I know about Singing in the Rain because I've seen the movie, and I just remember it very specifically being the apostrophe. The things that I was like, I thought The Lion and the Lamb, I was like, yes, Bible, let's go. But I guess wolf makes sense because, like, wolf in sheep's clothing. I don't know. But, like, I feel like a lot of them, it's just stuff like, well, I never really thought to look into it. Like, Norma Jean just seems like it shouldn't have an E at the end. Like, we all know the Timmy fell down a well bit from, the joke. Like, you know, like, it's stuff like, that just, like, it seems like the right answer, but, like, those, like, I feel like if you're a big fan of Jaws, you know that it's, you're gonna need a bigger boat, but I've just seen it as, like, a, like,
I don't think I've actually ever seen Jaws, so.
Well, it's a good movie.
But.
There's a really good example of vertigo effect in it, which is one of my favorite camera techniques. It's fun to look at.
But, yeah, so this was a fun little one that tied in a few different things. We got the Mandela effect, we have quantum death, quantum immunity, yeah. Or immortality, not immunity.
Quantum immunity.
What Donald Trump is hoping I hope to you... have.
Jesus Christ. I hope you played He Wants Immunity in every timeline.
Well, if he's an interdimensional traveler, he can easily go to those timelines.
I guess. I hope he never can. I hope they took his time machine away.
Right,
I hope
that's actually
Pence
left
took
in the...
his time machine away.
No, it's actually just sitting in the basement of the White House, and Biden gets to discover it now.
Good.
Surprise! Every president has actually had access to this time machine.
I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest.
It's a well kept secret of the president's, like, White House, like.
Just like aliens.
Behind the bowling alley in the White House, you have to crawl through where the pins go.
I'm obsessed with that.
And that's where the hidden time machine is.
Well, I hope you played along with us. Now you know if you're affected or unaffected.
Whenever this episode comes out, we'll comment on our Instagram post that we'll post about it. Let us know if you were affected or not.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see if anybody else remembers life like we do, or we're just idiots. Because that's
the lion fell in love with the goddamn lamb.
Right. Like that's I read Twilight, bitch.
I guess it's possible that Stephanie Meyer misquoted the Bible, but I thought she was, like, a Mormon. Why would she do that?
I mean, I also grew up in church, and, like, the Lion and the Lamb story is, like, typical Sunday school shit.
Yeah, wait, I need to... The Lion and the Lamb.
Like, I definitely remember watching a movie called The Lion and the Lamb as a kid. Like, I know that for a fact.
I thought it was a thing. There's a lion and a lamb thing on Wikipedia.
Is it talking about the Mandela effect?
No, it's, like, saying that it's a thing of, like, a symbol of peace.
But not, like, a biblical thing.
Well, it says that it's sometimes a biblical thing.
Maybe that's just a matter of, like, translational deficits.
That's also true. Oh, wait. So it says, I'll just read this. It says, okay, the lion and the lamb, often a paraphrase from the book of Isaiah and more closely quoted as the lion and the lamb. They're an artistic symbol for peace. The symbol is used both in Christianity and Judaism to represent the Messianic age. And then it says, the lion stands for Christ resurrected, the lamb for Christ's sacrifice. Isaiah casts a lion as metaphorically forbidden in the future paradise. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up there on. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk. Yet Isaiah respectively reference such formerly ravenous beasts as becoming peaceable. Oh, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent its food shall be dust. So it mentions the lion at the same time as it mentions the wolf, but that's the full quote, is the lion and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent its food shall be dust.
Oh, okay. Mystery solved. We're not in an alternate timeline, we just aren't Christians.
Oops.
Well, I guess in your case you aren't a Christian, you're a Catholic, but we're not very good at what, like, we do.
Yeah, I haven't been to church in years.
Yeah, the last time I went to church was, like, high school.
I think Catholics count as Christians, but I feel like Catholics are, like, for some reason, like they're Christians. It's just a denomination of Christianity, but for some reason it's always, like, separated, and I guess it's because there's, like, the Pope and, like, the Vatican, and it's more of, like, a whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
But,
anyway,
that
on that note
has been our fun little time on conspiracies. I already forgot what we said we were going to do next week. I know we talked about it right before we started recording, and I already forgot.
But, so it'll be a surprise for all of us.
Yay! We will see you in... Oh, God, this...
A week!
Yeah, but for us, it'll be, like, 3 weeks from now. But well, see, past us, say hello to future you. And hope you're doing well. Hopefully 2 weeks from now, things are still going well.
And I hope you are staying spooky.
And on that note, stay spooky, y'all.
Bye.